and welcome to COS Live. You can watch the original video broadcast live on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern. Visit conventionofstates.com/pod to learn more. And now, here's COS Live.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to our latest edition of COS Live. I'm Rita Peters. I'll be your host this evening, and I serve as the Senior Vice President for Legislative Affairs with Convention of States, in addition to being a co-host of COS Live. So thanks for joining us tonight. And I would ask that while you're watching, drop a little comment to tell me where you're watching from. Which state are you in? What brings you to the show? How long have you been interested in Convention of States? We always like to know who's watching, and tell us a little bit about you and why you're interested in Convention of States. And then we would ask you to share the program with your friends so we can get more people thinking about the Article 5 solution and get more people working toward that solution with Convention of States. We have a great show for you. I'm saying we. Unfortunately, my co-host Andrew is not with me. I'm going solo with the hosting duties this evening. But producer G and I have a great show for you tonight. North Carolina State Representative Dennis Riddell has been a longtime champion for Convention of States. But did you know he was once a member of an opposition group that traffics in fear-mongering and wild speculation? So we will get to ask him why he chose faith over fear, and we'll hear a little bit of his story. It's so interesting. We will also show you a new video from the COS California team as they engage with their state legislators. You can see how they do it. But first, we will go to Mike, as always, for our Article 5 trivia giveaway.
Thank you, Rita. I'm sure it's going to be a fantastic show. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to give away some stuff and to find out how people are doing when it comes to their knowledge about COS, and today in particular about how they're doing about their knowledge of Convention of States and some of the things that we've done. So get your fingers sharp and get ready to type your answer into the chat. In the meantime, I'm going to give away one of these really cool shirts. I just got this last night. They are brand new in the warehouse. I don't think they're on the website today, but in the next day or two, they'll be on there. We have men's and women's polos. They're nice performance fabric polos. I'm going to give one away, a woman's or a man's shirt in your size, to the person that answers this question. Boy, I'll tell you, these are sharp and they're wonderful. They come in different colors, and I'm sure you'll enjoy having one. And if you need one, it's one of the most popular items in the COS store. People who go out and about that want to be a little bit more on the casual side or business casual even, then they will grab one of these shirts and wear it so people will ask them about COS, or if they're representing COS, it's a great way to clean up. So if you don't win one, just go to shopconventionofstates.com and you can get one yourself. But again, you might have to wait a day or two until they're actually in the store, because they are brand spanking new. We had run out of all of our old stock. All right, so let's get going and talk a little bit about our trivia question of the day. And as you probably know, so far 19 states have successfully passed the application or adopted the Article 5 resolution for Convention of States, which of course covers three topics: fiscal restraints, term limits, and other limits on federal overreach. And this week, here's our question. This week, we're celebrating two anniversaries. And two of those 19 states, the fourth and the eighth states, to give you a little bit of a hint, said yes to COS on May 22nd and May 25th, respectively. So my question: what are the states? Which states passed the resolution? What are the fourth and eighth states? Hopefully you know this right off the top of your head. You're typing in or you're looking it up, but hopefully you're the first one to get one of these really cool COS polos. So that's what I have so far. We're going to turn it back over to Rita, who's got a couple of great interviews. How about a journey from fear to faith? And I'll be back at the end to reveal the answer, and I hope you win. Back to you, Rita.
Thanks, Mike. Now, before we get to our interview, which I assure you, you will not want to miss, let's see some history being made. It's some new video courtesy of the COS California team. Check it out.
Convention of States, toss and strong in the cornhole to illustrate the black hole of federal overreach.
It's, in a certain sense, it's a now or never kind of thing, because we aren't going to have more time out ahead, and we're going to have less access as time goes on if things continue the way they're going.
We have Martin Turner here, who is a volunteer activist with Convention of States. Martin,
hey.
Tell us, what are you here today for, and are you having a good time?
I am here to lobby the legislature about Article 5 and Convention of States, and I'm having a blast. I had a really good time. It was fun talking with the senator's representative.
Because each legislator received
a binder with information and the number of constituents who wanted them to take a look and consider the Article 5 proposal.
Very well received, very, very professional staff, and so it's been fun. You learn something every time you come, but it's just a great time to make relationships, plant seeds about Article 5, and get to lobby.
So did you feel like they were kind of dismissive, or were they attentive?
Not at all. They were very, well, one of them was on his way to a meeting, but he was very attentive with the few minutes I spent. The other one was extremely attentive. I spent about an hour and a half with him, so.
Well, Kimberly Hogan, what's been your impression of the day so far?
Well, it's been busy, it's been crazy, but it's been grassroots. And I think that's what the real message here is that we are all coming together to build those bonds with each other. That's what the grassroots are about. That's what this country is about. It's about we do.
Wow, that was great. Is the infamous John Birch Society a factor in North Carolina's bid to become the next state to join the Convention of States movement? To answer that question, I interviewed North Carolina Representative Dennis Riddell, as well as our volunteer state director, Joy Ruman. Let's watch. Well, as we mentioned before, we have two amazing guests today, both from the Tar Heel State or North Carolina, and I'm really excited that I get to be the one to interview them today. So let me just start by introducing our volunteer state director, Joy Ruman from North Carolina, and Representative Dennis Riddell, who is the longtime faithful primary sponsor of our Convention of States application in North Carolina. Joy, Representative Riddell, welcome to the program.
Hi, Rita. Thank you. Good to be with you.
It's great to have you both. North Carolina is our super active state right now legislatively, so I'm excited to get to talk to both of you today and bring to our viewers a little bit of what's going on there in North Carolina. And I'd like to start with you, Joy. Just tell us a little bit about yourself and why you got involved with Convention of States action.
Well, I'm a North Carolina native. I've been in Raleigh most of my life. And until the July of 2018, I never did anything political in my entire life. I never even followed politics. I voted, but didn't really back then, certainly didn't understand the importance of voting for judges and that kind of thing. And really never followed anything political. And I just got tired of the political vitriol I was hearing. What I consider lies in some cases and truths in others. And I had an opportunity. I'll give a shout out to Gary Lyons, who I think you both know. He was part of a networking group that I was a part of, and he was moving to South Carolina, and he suddenly decided to tell everybody about Convention of States on his last meeting at the networking group. And I immediately went over, and I think I signed the petition that afternoon and maybe applied to be a district captain the next day. And so
Well, we are so glad you did, because you do a ton for our movement and leading the grassroots team there in North Carolina. You all are a powerful team, a force to be reckoned with. And we at the national team are just amazed by all the great work you do and the incredible impact that you have. Now, Representative Riddell, I want to go to you next. Tell us a little bit about your background and why you decided to run for public office.
My background begins in the San Francisco Bay Area. That was where I was born and raised. And
wow.
My first exposure to political campaigns and all was helping my father with the unfortunate campaign of Barry Goldwater for president in 1964. It was not really a good start to any political career campaign, but every young man likes to be with his father when at all possible. And so I just liked hanging out with him, and we were putting up signs and just other campaign sort of things. And then it really kicked into gear 2 years later when I like to refer to it as an out of work actor, named Ronald Reagan decided to run for governor of California. My dad got all over that campaign, so we did a whole bunch of things together. And I just remember enjoying the process, putting up signs, talking to people, passing out literature. We went door to door. My dad was big on construct. He's a contractor, so you construct floats for parades. And he and my mom and his friends would decorate them up, and then we'd get to be on the parade float and wave to people. And so for a young fellow, that was pretty cool stuff. And as I got older and stayed with the political involvement, I realized just what a miracle America is. My parents were very patriotic, very devoted. My father, I don't know if you can see the picture on the wall, that's him as a World War II Navy vet. He was my hero in so many ways. And I realized what he did to preserve liberty and freedom in our country, of putting his life on the line, was something that really is a calling for every single American who values their heritage. Mm-hmm. So I was never called into active duty or anything like that, but I was determined to try to do what I could to impact elections and shape the future in a more conservative direction through my life. So it just went from there into a deeper involvement with the Republican Party when my wife and I moved here to North Carolina. In 1985, we jumped right in with the local Republican Party and got involved there. Served as chairman of the Republican Party on two different terms. Founded a young Republican club here in our county, and have just made myself available to people and candidates that I liked over the decades. And eventually, to my surprise, I was called by my predecessor, gentleman named Dan Engel, who was serving in the State House, and he called me in September of 2011 to let me know he was not going to run again, but he said, I want you to run in my place. I want you to think about that. So Polly and I talked about it, and we had a little vacation planned at the beach in a few days, so we went to the beach and kind of prayed about it with our family, asked our kids, who were mostly pretty young at that time, what they thought about it, and I still remember one of my daughters was response, didn't hesitate, was, oh, gee, Dad, you know, you've been doing this for all these years and not getting paid for it. You might as well get something for your efforts. And she didn't know that we only get paid $14,000, but as a state legislature, but that was kind of the beginning. And that was in 2012. We had a very successful campaign. I've had five other successful campaigns since then. Really praise God for the opportunity to be in North Carolina legislature right now, because North Carolina is a different state today than it was in 2012.
Sure. Well, your predecessor chose well when he made that call to you, and your constituents have been choosing well ever since. We are so proud of you, so proud that you are our primary sponsor in the North Carolina House. Now, I recently heard a rumor about your past, and I just have to ask you about it today. I heard that at one time you were involved with the John Birch Society. And for those who might be watching the program that aren't familiar with the John Birch Society, this is an organization that today is adamantly opposed to the Article 5 convention process. They regularly testify against our application in every state where it's active. And I'll add, this wasn't always the case. There was a time when the John Birch Society did support the use of the Article 5 process and actually advocated for a convention to propose a set of amendments. But today, they're adamantly opposed to it. So I find this really interesting. Representative Riddell, is it true that you were once a member of the JBS? And if so, tell us the story behind that.
Well, Rita, I can neither confirm nor deny my involvement in the John Birch Society.
Oh, dear.
No, very true. Very true. My parents were both in the John Birch Society that started in the early 60s, right about the time I think my dad got involved in campaigns, actually. And it was a major part of our family. I went to summer camps sponsored by the John Birch Society. I was a speaker at summer camp sponsored by the John Birch Society. I was a life member of the John Birch Society, very heavily involved up until about 1983, I believe. Started having some misgivings about some of the things that were being presented through the society. Most of the people I met, just solid Americans. I mean, very patriotic, very devoted to the family and to the country. And to trying to preserve liberty, much as I was trying to do. They were very supportive of something that was called, I believe, the Liberty Amendment in the late 60s. I remember my father working very hard trying to get our local congressional and senatorial delegation from California to support the Liberty Amendment in Congress. And then also there was the effort to try to do it Article 5 just by individual state efforts. So that was something, it surprised me when I became involved in COS that I started seeing opposition from people I know locally who are in the John Birch Society, when the John Birch Society at one time was very eagerly proposing the Liberty Amendment.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So apparently the, you know, a change or a shift in leadership somewhere along the line caused them to just reverse their position about an Article 5 convention to today being opposed to it. Joy, is there a John Birch Society presence in North Carolina today, would you say? And if so, what have you observed about their MO and how they operate, what their messaging is?
Well, yes, there is a presence, and I've actually talked with our local team about the fact that my gut tells me it's been bigger than we realized, and we haven't really focused a great deal on that because we've had success just working with legislators who aren't influenced by them. We, now that we're at the point where we're facing the Senate for the second time, there's a key senator that we want to vote yes for for HJR 235, who actually campaigned against us. And we can't really absolutely know this, but we're fairly certain it's because John Birch Society members in his area supported him in his campaign. Mm-hmm. And he went against us. He didn't know anything about us. He is now changing slowly. We've had, all of our national senior advisors, Mark Meckler, Rick Santorum, and Michael Ferris, have met with him. But they are actually hosting two events in his district coming up in June. They've even got a flyer, and they've got a flyer that they've put one of our senior advisors in a dunce cap, which is very troubling to me. But and we hope that that will actually cause that particular senator, if and when he sees it, and we'll make sure he sees it, to raise an eyebrow in a big way. This senator has been very open to us. That's the wonderful thing we've experienced. He's been very open to us. We've recently put together some material that I provided, that you provided to me, and that Rita, kind of a lawyer briefing book, and we gave that senator one and pointed out the article that was there pushing back on making the one entitled Problems in the Testimony of Robert Brown on Article 5. And so we feel confident he's going to read it, and we just hope that he'll choose to vote yes for us so that we can get this resolution done in the next few weeks, we hope.
Absolutely. Well, you know, from my vantage point on the national team, I see a lot of what they're doing in states across the country. And a couple of observations that I've made about the John Birch Society messaging and their MO. Number one, a lot of it, they're just factually incorrect. They either misunderstand the history, don't know the history, misunderstand the law, don't understand the implication of court cases and just the law of Article 5. And the second thing I observe is that they're almost entirely fear-based. Their motivation is fear. The way they want to motivate the legislators is to fear, to be afraid of the Article 5 process. And, you know, I take particular offense to that as a Christian, a person of faith. I don't operate based in fear. But Representative Riddell, I want to get your take on this. What would you say to the grassroots in North Carolina about how they can best counter this kind of messaging from the John Birch Society, which, if you agree with me, is both incorrect and fear-based, fear-motivated?
You kind of hit on that, Rita. I think as a Christian, I've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And what brought me out of the John Birch Society in the early 80s was I was in graduate school, working on a master's in education, teaching history. And one of the assignments was to pick a particular theory of history, research it very thoroughly, and then write a paper on it. And at that time, I was still in the John Birch Society, so I chose the conspiracy theory of history because that's the all-encompassing It's the belt that holds all the John Birch Society together is this belief in a self-perpetuating, several hundreds of years old conspiracy to create a one world government. And that more than anything else, you need to learn everything you can about the Illuminati, the Bilderbergers, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, these people who they call the insiders. And the more research I did in the paper, the more I realized that my previous belief in the conspiracy did not honor God. It honored the devil. Mm-hmm. It was making Satan preeminent and the first cause of all things that occur in history. And that supplants Christ. That supplants the Lord's place in history as the true focal point and the creator. So the more I realized there was that discrepancy, I started reading books outside of the John Birch Society's recommended lists and comparing historian notes and realized that the theory really did not hold up well under more purposeful scrutiny. And eventually I was able just to terminate my membership and move on. And so to the grassroots, long answer to your question, I'm sorry.
No,
but to the grassroots is try to be patient with them. These are not bad people, not in the slightest. They're very patriotic, very much love their country. They tend to be very selective in facts. They, as I used to, would choose only certain books as authoritative on an issue and nothing else was considered to be good. I think I would refer them back to the founders and our history. I think most of the hesitation by elected officials with COS is that they don't know a fuller rendering of our history and how commonplace conventions of colonies, of states, of independent states, how frequent these things took place in our nation's history without disaster, without runaway, without any problems. They actually solved problems with their, what I would call mini convention of states from the early founding up through today.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And in fact, that is why the founders didn't put a whole lot of detail in Article 5 about the way the convention process worked, because it was so familiar to them. It was something they were all familiar with. Most of them had attended conventions before, and you know, the basic rules were well known and universally followed. So yeah, you're absolutely right. That history is really instrumental to properly understanding the convention process. Now, Representative Riddell, thanks to you and your hard work on the House side in North Carolina, our resolution has already passed the North Carolina House. Are you hopeful that this year will be the year we get through the Senate as well?
Oh, I am. I'm very hopeful. Joy and her team statewide have done a great job. You know, they are constantly, I call it COS Wednesday. They are constantly down in the legislature every Wednesday, faithfully trying to contact and connect now with senators and to give them information. I think we're in a good place. I think we're in a much better place than we were 2 years ago. And with, I think, continued outreach to some key senators, I think we can get it done this year. Careful, you know, well-planned outreach. I think having people of the caliber of Mike Ferris and Mark Meckler and Rick Santorum come and speak to individuals was very compelling, very, very effective. Mm-hmm. And just don't be sidetracked by what people in the John Birch Society are saying. As well-intentioned as they might be, they're laboring under false notions about convention of states and Article 5. But they do like to assail other conservatives more than they do the left. So that can be a little, you know, distracting sometimes. You just need to stay focused. Give the information to the people who are willing to hear and do it in a very amiable, winsome way. And I think we'll get it done this year.
Great advice. Joy, let's close with you. What
may I ask a follow-up question to that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
Do you think, Dennis, that there is any, is it ever worth our effort to try to change the minds of the people that are involved with the John Birch Society?
I will tell you from my life experience, once you make a decision to step out of the John Birch Society, then you're a little bit of a pariah. You kind of get the mark of Cain on you, that you're not a real conservative anymore. You're not a true conservative. You've been compromised somehow, and then they'll spend all sorts of time trying to dig and find out what it is that you've been compromised by or something. When you believe in conspiracies, as they do, again, as all-encompassing, that becomes your explanation for everything. So if I cast a vote, say today in Raleigh, that some people in John Birch Society disagree with, their immediate conclusion is that I'm a part of the conspiracy, even though I may not know it, or I've been compromised somehow, and I'm not a true conservative, and we need to support true conservatives. You know, it depends on the individual. Somebody who's new to it is easier, I think, to explain and walk out of it. Somebody who's been in it a long time and has vested much of their life in it, probably not so much.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, now, Joy, I'm going to give you the last word here. What would you say to North Carolinians who might be watching this program right now? What can they do to help and get involved?
Well, if they haven't signed the petition, that's the first thing. We're always looking for new petition signers. If they have signed the petition and they've not stepped up to volunteer, go back to the Convention of States website. Go to conventionstates.com/take_action or click on the action tab on the main homepage. Sign up to be a volunteer activist. Do that first before you do anything else, because then we'll talk to you about other ways you can get involved. There are ways we need district captains in a lot of places in the state, but you don't have to do that much. You know, we just need people to make phone calls for us sometimes. And those phone calls are fun. Sometimes they're rarely not, you're always talking to like-minded people. So a lot of people hate to make those calls, but making those calls for COS changed my mind about calling people I don't even know, because most people do want to hear from you. And so just step up and help us in any way that you can. We are hosting breakfasts all over the state. I've just been amazed that the people that have stepped up to do more in those. I think we've got them happening in about 8 areas right now, and they're still growing. And so if there's a breakfast probably coming up near you, and we're actually going to start an initiative, I hope this week, to start having a way that you can find out about them online so you can show up and meet other like-minded people. I have been incredibly blessed to do what I do, and what's happening in North Carolina is not because of me. It's because of all the other people that I work with. They just all, I'm work with the most amazing people I've ever met. So, and I'm grateful to all of them for everything they do.
Well, we are grateful for you, Joy. Thank you for your service to the grassroots. And Representative Riddell, thank you so much for your service to the people of North Carolina and your service to the nation in leading this effort in North Carolina to pass the Convention of States application. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Pleasure to be a part of it. Really is. Thank you.
And now let's go back to Mike for the answer to today's Article 5 trivia question. Mike?
Thanks, Rita. What a great show. I'm so glad that you had the opportunity to do those interviews and learn a little bit about one man's journey from fear to faith. And I'm sure all of you guys know somebody that would also benefit from seeing this. So go ahead and tag them so they can see this really great COS Live. And if you remember from the beginning of the show, we gave away one of these really, or we were going to give away one of these really cool brand new COS polos. They're just in the store. We had run out. So if you're trying to get a polo, now's a great time to do it, or actually another day or so, because they're not quite in the store yet. They just arrived at our warehouse and they'll be up very soon. But you can go to shopconventionofstates.com if you want to pick one up. And hopefully you're the one that won one of these in your size, men's shirt or a woman's shirt. Going back to the beginning, you probably know we've passed 19 states. And this week, 2 states enjoy an anniversary. Our 4th state and our 8th state have said yes to COS on May 22nd and May 25th. And the question was, what are the states? The answer is Alabama and Louisiana. Alabama was our 4th state to pass a resolution, Louisiana our 8th state. And Alabama passed on May 22nd, 8 years ago this week. Louisiana joined the movement on May 25th, 7 years ago this week. And if you want to learn a little bit about who's passed and how and where we're at in the Convention of States, just go to conventionofstates.com and you can find out a lot. But more importantly, if you are just kind of curious, maybe you're on the sidelines, then not only do I recommend you come and take a look, but given the descent that our nation is making into tyranny in so many different ways, the overreach of our federal government, it might be time for you to get involved. So just go to conventionofstates.com, click the Take Action button, and we'll help you to help this nation, help your future, your progeny, to be able to live the kind of life that you and all of us have been able to live in this wonderful free country of America. So that's all I've got today. Back to you, Rita, and you guys have a great evening.
Thanks, Mike. We do this show every week to reach, teach, and activate Americans about the only constitutional solution as big as the DC problem. If you're ready to take your place among the Americans who are doing whatever it takes to restore the Republic, sign up for one of the many volunteer roles with COS. Go to conventionofstates.com and click the Take Action tab to get started. Don't forget to subscribe to our social media accounts. Search Convention of States on Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can listen to this program, as well as Crossroads with me and Mark Meckler, the Liberty Update, and legacy content from our archives on the official Convention of States podcast. We've received several 5-star reviews, and we're always grateful for those as they do help our show to grow. Go to conventionofstates.com/pod to learn more. Check out The Battle Cry with COS President Mark Meckler Sunday nights at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. And we'll see you back here next Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time for another edition of COS Live. Now, we've got a country to save, so let's get back to work. Thank you for joining us.
This has been the podcast version of COS Live. Check out more content at conventionofstates.com/pod. Thank you for listening.